Welcome to everyone. Welcome to our annual, semi-annual presentation of our accounts. I will do the presentation today with Thierry Schmidt de La Brélie, Managing Director of Finance, myself, Fabrice Walewski, a Managing Partner. You can also ask online all your questions, and they will be answered at the end of the presentation. If we go to page four of the presentation, first, I am very pleased to announce that despite COVID-19, our strategy implemented since the sale of our modular building activity in 2017 in Europe and USA delivered good results. We returned to profitability, and as you see here, revenue from activities increased by 2%, EBITDA by 41%, operating income by 94%, and back to the black number with a 2.5 million euros net profits. Concerning the business model, as I said, it was resilient in the first half of the year despite COVID. In fact, we are only investing in tangible assets, standardized and mobile equipment, rail cars, containers, and barges, which are owned on our balance sheets by Touax or managed on behalf of third parties. Those assets are long-term assets, 30-50 years, and leased under long-term contracts between three and eight years in average. Also very good diversification in terms of a geographical presence in Asia, Europe, and the Americas. Therefore, on January 1st, 2020, 76% of our revenues were recurrent. Here we do on page six a special focus on COVID-19, which is normal. Despite the good results, of course, we had impacts. However, they were limited. First, on freight rail cars, we of course experienced less demands on the first half of the year with some return of some equipments and a slightly lower utilization rates. For river barges, very little impact. In fact, as you will see, quite good utilization rates. This is normal as the demand is primarily linked to raw materials like grain transportation or iron ore. For containers, in fact, definitely a slowdown on the market for in volume for our customers, but a good market discipline, and therefore, as you will see, strong utilization rates. Modular buildings, very low number of new contract signs on the first half of the year, but there were a good activity level last year, and therefore we could benefit from those signed contracts already signed and in the first half of the year deliver them. At the end of June, we can also confirm we did not record any asset impairments and had no major collection problems with our clients. In the midterm, I will spend more time at the end of this presentation for the strategy and outlook, but we can confirm that demand for the freight transport equipment like rail cars, containers, and barges are forecasted to grow for two main reasons, I would say. Greener transportation modes, definitely customers and authorities promoting transportation methods reducing CO2 emissions, and also a trend towards outsourcing. Now I turn to Thierry for the presentation of the financials.
Thank you, Fabrice. We can see on page eight the numbers of the income statement where exactly the performance of the company shows a strong resilience in this sanitary crisis with a positive net result and an increase of all numbers for the first half. If we break down the revenues from activities, which has been up by 2%, we can see the leasing activity and the sales activity. Leasing activity records leasing on behalf on third parties, equipment or equipment on behalf owned by third parties, and leasing of our own equipment. Leasing of our own equipment has been up significantly, where leasing on of equipment on behalf on third parties has been decreasing because we sold some equipment, old equipment from them, and the sale of those old equipment is shown in the sales revenues, where you can see also a very good activity in sales revenue. So leasing market and sales market was good despite the current environment. Cost of equipment sales increasing in parallel with the sales. Operating expenses has been well managed, and we have adapted our spending in repairs and revisions, so we can see a decrease there. We have optimized also our general and administrative expenses. The net distribution decrease, the decrease is linked to the decrease of the leasing activity of own equipment, which is linked to the sales of those equipment and the decrease in the fleet of managed, not own equipment, but managed equipment. Depreciation, amortization, and impairment. So as said by Fabrice, no impairment. Depreciation is up a little bit because we have invested in own equipment. So we have an EBITDA that has been up by 40% and an operating which is nearly doubling. The financial profit records mostly interest expenses, quite stable, but in fact interest expenses are increasing because we have invested and then we have a little bit more debt. However, in H1 2019, we had to record an exceptional loss in foreign exchange. So this has been discussed before. Corporate tax, for sure, increasing a little bit because we are making more profit. The net income from discontinued activities, this is a cost, some cost related to the sale of the modular building activity. And for sure, because now there is less and less cost on that, so a very small number, to reach a positive number in a consolidated net income and a consolidated number in positive number in a group's parent share company. The earning per share is now positive at 0.35. So page 9, you will have some details of what I described. Page 10, it's interesting because we can see the contribution of the different activities. So in the group, in the company today, we have two pillars, the freight rail cars and the containers, where the freight rail cars is the first contributor. River barges is a smaller, and you can see in other, the very small part, which we call the modular building activity, and in Africa and corporate expenses. EBITDA, you can see in all those activities are increasing. So if we look at the performance analysis of these activities, the first one is a freight rail cars performance. Page 11, you can see an increase in the turnover and an increase in EBITDA. In fact, the increase in turnover comes from the increase in leasing revenue. Leasing revenue and increasing because of increasing of leasing rate, leasing prices, because we have released assets, and especially in 2019 with increase of prices. This has been a little bit offset by a small decrease in utilization rate from 87 to 85 in the first half of 2020. Syndication has increased also, and because we also adapted our maintenance cost, the operating expenses has decreased. So increase in revenue, decrease in operating expenses means sharper increase in EBITDA by 36%. So the assets we are managing, page 12 in the freight rail cars, it's about 11,000 platform, where 1,500 is in technical management, meaning that we don't lease them to our customer, we just manage the maintenance for the customers. The average leasing period, as you can see, is 3.6 years in June 2020 compared to 2.8 years last year, which is a very good protection in average, again, against this kind of environment we have today. The performance of the river barges, page 13, shows a decrease in revenues where we have an increase in EBITDA. In fact, the decrease in revenue comes from less freightment, on transportation of steel for the automotive industry. However, the contribution of affreightment is very small in the EBITDA because it's very small margin. So the impact is small, while the increase in EBITDA comes from a decrease or a reduction in operating expenses, but also with the IFRS 16 norm, where in fact some leasing expense has been now retreated and is not anymore in EBITDA. So if we look at the same scope of norm, we could say that it has been quite stable activity for the first half 2020. The assets we are managing, page 14, on the river barge activity is 100 river barges. 51% are in Europe, 39% in South America, and the 10 last percent is in US, North America. The average age of the fleet is quite young, 14 years, and again, so a high utilization rate, but again, 5.8 years of average leasing period, which is again a very good protection in this kind of sanitary crisis. The performance of the containers, page 15, shows also an increase in revenues and an increase in EBITDA. So in revenues, as said before, we have the leasing revenues and the sales revenue. Leasing revenue is up for owned equipment and down for equipment managed on third parties because we sold some assets. And we have an increase also in sales. So very good momentum in the trading of new and used equipment. So good activity, or very good activity, even with this kind of environment on the first half, on the leasing activity and on the sales activity, which shows then at the end an increase of the EBITDA by 65%. The assets we are managing in containers, page 16, so it's about 400,000 containers. With an average fleet of 10 age of fleet of 10 years, so meaning that we will continue to have sales of old equipment. You can see the average utilization rate, which is at 95%, over 95%, which is a very good, a slight decrease compared to last year. This comes mostly because we are selling assets. To sell assets, we need to have them delivered. So for sure, we can see some decrease in utilization rate, but it's not very important. And again, the average leasing period, 6.7 years, which give us a very strong inertia and a very, very good protection in its current environment. If we look at the balance sheet now, as I said, we have an increase in or some investment, so an increase in a total balance sheet. We can see 447 to 458 million euro total balance sheet. This is shown in capitalized equipment. Current asset has been decreased because we sold some assets, capitalized some assets for stock inventories, but also we were very careful about customers' payment collection of clients, and we have a good collection and no issues and delay on payment in the first half. In liabilities, the equity is quite stable, and then we have financing, long-term financing and short-term financing. So current liabilities is recording the short-term financing, which is quite high because we are in the process of refinancing some debt, which is this just after. Page 19, you have some details on the balance sheet. However, this balance sheet, which is quite complex to understand, you can see page 20, the economical balance sheet, where you can see that we have in assets, non-current assets and inventories. In that non-current asset and inventories, it's mostly only tangible assets. So 5 million euro of goodwill only. So we have 378 million euro of assets, which is steel boxes. And this is financed by liabilities, so group shareholders' equity, which records or integrate also the hybrid capital, net debt, 208 million euro, And the working capital requirement is negative. The debt is not financing any working capital. Working capital is negative thanks to the asset management. So the net debt is used to finance only tangible assets with a very prudent and low LTV of 55%. If we break down this or detail this net debt, page 21, in fact, we have 245 million euro in gross. With 37 million euro cash to then attain 208 million euro of net debt. The 245 million euro of gross debt is detailed in recourse debt and non-recourse debt, mostly non-recourse debt, which is asset-backed financing. The source of funding, so we have private debt market and debt capital market. So 11% of debt capital market, 17%, which is corporate financing and other, mostly private debt market. And then 69% of structured finance with banks, specialized in asset financing. So it's asset-backed financing. The average total gross debt interest is 4.8%, 4.11 in euros, 3.5 in dollars, but we have also Indian rupee debt for some activities in Asia. The maturity of those debt, page 20, you will see that 2020, as I said, there is some short-term debt, 110 million euro of debt to refinance. This is asset-backed financing. Out of which 68 million euro in rail cars, 42 million euro in containers. Debt in containers is in US dollar. What we have done in the first half was to extend one SPV rail cars debt asset-backed financing, which is SRFRL, 40.6 million euro. That has been extended until December 2020 because we want to refinance the rail on a larger scope, and we are underway on this refinancing for containers. So this was an impact of the COVID, where it was difficult to refinance in May. In fact, it was ending in May, so we begin to work actively in January, February, but everything stopped, I would say, by the end of February. So we decided with the lenders to extend until for 6 months, so until November, and we are also under the way of refinancing this containers facility. For barges, we have extended for South America 10 million euro, $10 million. Financing and refinance North America financing, which is a small financing of $2 million. Also, which is quite contradictory with our increase in performance, we signed in July 2020 a state guaranteed plan for a total of 4.4 million. Just to say, it's better to anticipate any future issues eventually than to cure them. So to anticipate, we said, okay, let's have this financing in case of not so significant. The credit profile at page 23 is very prudent for a tangible asset-based company. We have a gearing of 1.7, 1.6, 1.7, and a loan to value of 55%. So again, when we finance tangible assets and Silverbox like we have, it's quite prudent. The contractual ratios has been all complied by the end of June 20. The cash, because at the end, what is cash? Sometimes, you know, you can see the profit and loss statement, but it's totally different from the cash with the new norms. But the cash is real, I would say. So we have this increase in EBITDA, but we can see this increase in operating flows, which is the increase of the performance from 13 to 22 million euro. The change in working capital is positive, 6 million. And again, we are very, very cautious on the client collections. So that's why it has been up. And with that, we finance and purchase equipment and inventories. Again, meaning steel boxes, rail cars, and things like that. So then we have an operating flow that, for Alessor, is integrating this this investment, which is then at zero. Investment flows is not significant in our because in our activities, because we are lessor, and then the financing flows, which is very small. So please remind that we are managing also our cash flows with two levers, the leasing and the sales, and we have also we can manage it with the asset management activity and the sale of assets. So this asset management activity, which is part of our business model and part of our activity, detailed the page 26, it enables to expand our fleet and to generate additional income without increasing gearing levels or without spending cash. So it is organized in portfolios. So we purchase assets, we organize them in portfolio, we syndicate in investors. Investors are qualified investors. It's a long-term management agreement, and we don't guarantee no minimum return. We don't guarantee any minimum return to investors, so it's totally variable. It depends of the leasing of the equipment. Page 27, you can see what is the life with an investors, where at the beginning we purchase the assets, build the portfolio, and then sell the assets, which is the initial syndication. We earn at that time a syndication fee, which is a real money. Then we manage the assets, and during that time we earn a management fee, which is a percentage of the leasing fee, and sometimes an incentive fee on targeting returns if we are above. And then at the end of the program, we can sell the assets to final customer. Then we earn a marketing fee. So it's over 10 years contract usually. Page 28, so you can see that we are managing about 1.2 billion of assets, where mostly more than 60% is or 60% is managed on behalf of third parties. The investor there seek the diversification in their strategy of investment with recurring yields, which is, like we've seen, very resilient. Real and tangible assets with long useful life. Again, our assets and equipment are less volatile than it could be in equity or debt market. And those assets are green assets, which is in favor now of everybody. So you will see page 29, some more details. I will not spend time on that, on the how the investors invest in our assets, so they can invest through funds or direct investment or through managed accounts. So in conclusion, for this first H1 2020, first half 2020, the company shows a very strong resilience with an increase in performance. It confirms, as said by Fabrice, our strategy to focus on green, long-term transportation equipment. But this is the past, and I know that as we, you all want to know what is the future. So I give the floor to Fabrice for more information on what is the market and our strategy.
Thank you, Thierry. So we go to part two, market outlook and strategy. Page 31. First, of course, we have that news. TwaxRail, our subsidiary, signs a very promising capital increase with DIF Capital Partners. So who is DIF Capital Partners? They are very, first, I would say, three information. They are already an investor for us. So very good news. We know each other for now a few years, and they already invested in containers and even rail cars managed by TwaxRail. They are, secondly, highly experienced because they are an asset manager of infrastructure funds. They have 7.5 billion euros under management and already know transportation assets very well. And third, very important, they are long-term investors because they are new funds, which will invest end of September in our subsidiary, is a 10 years plus two fund. So, you know, we are very pleased to have this transaction with this partner. Secondly, they completely support our strategy to develop our long-term railcar leasing activities in Europe and Asia. So that 81.9 million euros will, of course, finance the growth of the activity. The valuation done for the capital increase is also, I would say, good and in fact completely aligned with a NAV per share. And I will give you more information about that. It's not only accretive for TWAX SCA shareholder, but also for TWAX Rail, because the 81.9 million euros will be also invested to buy back minority shareholders at the level of TWAX Rail in assets owned by SPVs. TWAX Rail will also become the 100% shareholder in TWAX Rail India. And there is 42 million euros, which will go back to TWAX SCA, the holding, in order to finance the other two activities and also repay some debt. TWAX SCA will continue to be the major shareholder with 51% of the capital. We obtained the approval of the German competition authorities, so it's done, and we go for a closing, which is targeted on September 29. Secondly, on the strategy. And to do a special focus per activity. For freight rail cars, so we completely confirm our target to reach 15,000 wagons, including 12,000 in Europe, 3,000 in Asia. In Europe, what we have seen on the market during this first half of the year is, of course, a reduction in freight transport by rail of 7%. This is completely due to COVID-19 because last year there were a 1.5% increase. Steel, automotive and coal industries, of course, have been mostly affected. But of course, as you know, we all expect a rebound of the markets in 2021. If I only look at the GDP forecast for Europe, plus 6% according to IMF in 2021. In the medium term, also, what I can say is that we still, when we discuss with our customers, we still understand that they are, on the medium term and long term, good growth prospects for those activities for two main reasons I already indicated. The European Green Deal is promoting the shift to rail transportation. And also, our customers, after such a crisis, we have, of course, less cash resources for non-core activities, and will be very pleased to work with leasing companies in order to finance the future growth. And as you know, the market was liberalized recently. Only 30% of the wagons are owned by the leasing companies or the private sector, 70% still owned by the state-owned railways. And of course, we just forecast that this ratio will increase in the future. We also see, and it shows a strong support of the governments for, European green transportations. Some major infrastructure projects just recently announced, for example, in France, 30 billion will be invested in green activities, including almost 5 billion euros in freight rail car activities. In the UK, also 100 billion pounds will be invested in that new high-speed train line between London, Manchester, Birmingham and Leeds. We, for example, invested in 100 wagons, which are leased to a construction company, which would be used for 10 years, for the construction of this railway line. In Asia, a little bit the same than in Europe, of course, a drop in demand on the first half due to COVID. In India, where we have a presence, it's 4.5% decline, but there is also a forecast of an increase. This is here 6% for 2021. So again, despite COVID, we are quite positive also for this market. In Asia, it is not really because of green aspects, but mostly because they need it. They need rail in order to put less cargo on road, which are completely saturated. And they need also innovative rail cars, which can transport more capacity. So we are clearly helping them with the supply of brakes of wagons. You have also two infrastructure projects you are aware of, but they are major. The Silk Routes between China and Europe continues. This is, a major investments of 140 billion in those rail networks, and also the new dedicated freight corridor DFC in India. In Europe, we don't have any railway line dedicated to freight, but in India, they built a railway line which would be only used by wagons transporting freight and no passengers. So very good news for our activities. So what are our ambitions in these markets? Again, we will continue and really be very careful for the selection of our customers. I confirm we had a very low level of defaults or late payments during the first half, which is of course good news, but also because we spent a lot of time choosing our customers, large customers, international customers, and having that good diversification. We will continue that as a strategy. Secondly, we will of course focus on long-term contracts. It is extremely important to go through those cycles when they start, and that's why we could maintain in Europe 84% utilization rate in average on the first half. This is really because of our long-term, and all the new pipeline of new deals are mostly long-term contracts. We'll continue to manage very carefully our costs. As you know, we implemented the lean processes to adapt our platform to the current environments, and you saw that costs were reduced in the first half. And of course, we will also definitely benefit from the capital increase of DIF, 81.9 million euros, to develop our activities. So a lot of ambition for Europe. For Asia, we will continue also to invest carefully. We could maintain a 100% utilization rate during the first half. Again, because we selected very carefully our customers and signed only 5 to 10 years contracts. So again, same strategy also for Asia. Now we focus on the barges. So here it's a 15 billion euros market size in Europe and the Americas. I would say that there is a correlation between river transportation and what we saw in the COVID-19. So barges are mostly used to transport grain or biomass or aggregates, but for very long-term infrastructure projects. So in fact, we have not seen a lot of impacts. So in Europe, the market was quite stable and also supported by the governments because of the green aspects of the river transportation. In USA, we saw also quite stable markets, but because a fall in the transport of coal was offsetted by the increase in transport of grain. South America, we saw some gradual improvement again because of the grain market mostly. Our TWAX ambition here, it is our smallest activity today, but we want to do some selective investments on the Seine River in France because of those infrastructure projects on the Rhine and also in the Americas. A focus now on the container activity, page 34. It's a 80 billion euros market in terms of number of assets, the value of assets in operation. What we have seen on the market is after a growth of 1.8% in 19, of course, we saw a decline in volume for customers. Definitely, there were less freight transported in the first half. The decline is 5.5% according to Drewry. The forecast for next year, 2021, is plus 6.3%. So a rebound like we experienced after the fall in 2009, a rebound expected in 2021. I remind you that in 2009, it was minus 9% and then plus 10% in 2010. So here, the same rebound is forecasted. What we saw also on the market is an amazing resilience of our customers. It was not forecasted because sometimes they can suffer a lot from those drop in volume. But I would say that this time they could very well manage capacity. There were a lot of discipline around the freight prices. And one of the reasons is that there were a lot of concentration in the past 10 years. And of course, an improvement in credit worthiness of the companies and also in terms of size. So they control much better the market and much more discipline. They also did benefit from the fall in oil price. Oil price is 40% of their cost for a transportation company, so this is major. They could therefore compensate lower volume with higher margin. And we expect for the for all our customers, all the shipping lines, to do combined profits of between $12 and $15 billion in 2020, which is, of course, very positive when we compare to the losses they did in 2009. So that's why we had no delays in payments and no, I would say, bad payments or, you know, non-payments done under our contracts. What we saw also in the first half of the year is, however, as always, when you have less demand, we simply order less containers. So TWAX has been very quiet in ordering new equipment, extremely cautious, but the market did also. So there is only a forecast of 2 million containers to be produced in 2020 compared to 2.7 million last year. But again, that discipline is very good for the market, and this is why we could enjoy a 96% utilization rate in average on the markets. Something interesting to note also for the market analysis, we recently saw a recovery in Asia, quite strong. And we could see some improvements, recent improvements on utilization rates. So, in fact, our utilization rates goes up now, and strong demand for new equipment. So it is completely recent, and we'll see what will happen in the next months. What is our TWAX ambitions? So in this market, so we continue our strategy. You remember we were only, you know, mainly a pure asset manager, and we were having only 8% of the containers on our books. Our strategy was, after the sale of the modular building activity in 2017, was to increase that share from 8 to 20%. That's exactly what we have done. And of course, it was very accretive on our EBITDA. This is why EBITDA is increasing, and we will continue to increase that share. You know, as targeted here. We will also continue to develop alongside leasing the trading activity of new and second-hand equipment. This is extremely good because we do it with the same platform. We buy from the same suppliers, we move the containers with our customers, and then we sell them. And as you saw in our numbers, that strategy was, again, very good, and it did deliver results. We also try to diversify our asset type. We invested in reefer containers. And we, of course, develop also not only owned assets, but also assets managed by third parties. And we have new partners who will co-invest with us in contracts. So to summarize our strategy on page 35, first on freight rail cars, clearly we target an organic growth, so buying new wagons in Europe and Asia, financed with our new partner and on our balance sheet, but also with third parties. We will continue that geographical diversification, Europe and in Asia, continue, of course, offering our long-term lease contracts and even sell and lease back contracts. And we also continue to offer a diversified type of wagons. For barges, who will also continue to invest on a selective basis, so mostly in Europe in barges and in containers, same, you know, continue to invest in the leasing activity, but also to develop our trading activities. We also work a lot on our processes, extremely important. We did implement, as you know, that lean processes, all those lean processes, to continue on an ongoing basis to improve our platforms. We have implemented, for example, our new organization of the rail activity. It does improve a lot of quality and customer satisfaction. And also, we want to maintain a very flexible and scalable platform. This is a key to improve performance, increase the scale, the size of our fleet, but keeping same level of organization to do economies of scales. In our strategy, this is, of course, the last remaining activity we have in the modular activity. This is in Africa. As you know, it was not sold in 2017 because we have a partner, 49% partner in it, and also because we did sign interesting contracts. So we continue to deliver that to optimize, increase the value of this subsidiary. So to summarize, in a, you know, could in an economic environment impacted by COVID, we could confirm that TWAC's business model was resilient, and that we are very well placed to increase our profitability and continue to grow. To conclude this presentation, I will go to the part three now, more on the shareholders' information. So page 38, what I can say is that a few messages. First, you have a stable group equity number. Secondly, you at the level of around €5 per share. Now it's of course higher since we indicated, you know, the numbers on the market. But those levels, there were still a 26% discount on book price. More interesting, you see a renewed interest of our shareholders in the share. So you see here the strong increase in the average volume of shares traded on the market from 600 to more than 10,000. And also, I remind everyone that we calculate for bank partners, partners, shareholders, a NAV per share. So this is extremely interesting because we do value on a yearly basis with third-party experts all our assets, and then we calculate what is the value per share, so which is in fact €13.23 as of the end of December 31st, 2019, and it will be updated as we do every year, so end of December 2020. Thank you very much. We of course hope to see you very soon in person, but now I let you asking the questions through Christelle, who will ask, in fact, to Thierry and myself all your questions.
Please feel free to send us your question. We didn't receive any question at this stage. Maybe it is the opportunity to remind you that the presentation is available on our TWAC's website in the investor section.
So thank you very much to everyone. As always, we receive a lot of questions after the call, so don't hesitate to send them by email. Thank you. Bye-bye.